Welcome to an inspirational Sunday message from Found Church. We hope you will be challenged and encouraged while listening to this message. For more information, or if you'd like to contact us, please visit our church website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
This week's Bible reading is coming from Judges chapter 6. So if you have a Bible, turn with me to Judges chapter 6, reading from verses 11 through to 16. And it says there, "The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a winepress to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, 'The Lord is with you, mighty warrior.' 'Pardon me, my lord,' Gideon replied, 'but if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, "Did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt?" But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian.' The Lord turned to him and said, 'Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?' 'Pardon me, my lord,' Gideon replied, 'how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family.' The Lord answered, 'I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites, leaving no one alive.'" Amen. With you and not about me. And Father, I pray that people will be changed and impacted and challenged as a result of what we share this morning. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning, I want to continue our series for 2020, Stronger. And today, I want to speak on stronger perspective. See, our perspective, the way that we interpret what's happening around us, can make or break us in any given situation. Our perspective shapes us, how we think, how we engage with people, how we action in our everyday. Perspective creates opportunity to grow, an opportunity to step out, or it can hinder our progress and it can restrict us. Clues to what kind of type of perspective we have is in some of the phrases that we regularly use, say, or think. If your perspective leans to the negative, you might not even be aware of it. Thinking the worst can be second nature after years of doing it. But it can be influencing how you live your life and keeping you from getting the best out of it. See, a negative perspective says, "I can't, I never will, I could never. That always happens to me. That never happens for me. That's not possible." That is language that is negative and it's limiting. It's reactive versus proactive, seeing the bad in people and in situations. But an optimistic perspective says, "I can, I will try, it's going to be okay, let's keep going." That's language that is positive and overcoming. It's responsive and proactive, choosing to see the good in people and situations. But a faith-filled perspective says, "I can do all things through Christ. I am more than a conqueror. With God, nothing is impossible." See, positive perception says that failure is part of learning, that we can do the hard stuff. So we need to turn down our negative self-talk and make intentional decisions to transform our perspective from the inside out. See, God is calling us to have this enlarged, stronger perspective of His faithfulness and power, to be aware of His ableness versus our own limitations and versus what the world may say. God sometimes has a totally different perspective from us. His challenge for us is to align our perspective with His, to see things from His vantage point. We can begin again and change the way we think. Changing the way we think sets us up on a new road that trusts more, dares more, loves more, and lives more. See, Gideon was a man that was challenged several times to have an enlarged perspective, to have faith in God, and to say yes to all that God wanted to do through his life. See, in our scripture reading earlier from Judges 6, we meet Gideon, and he has his first perception challenge. Negative perception, tick. "I can't. It's impossible. Who am I?" Self-doubt, self-limiting, tick. See, the first step in beginning again and to changing our perception is to begin with ourselves, to begin with how we see ourselves. We need to change our perspective on who we are. See, we often can get caught up in that comparison trap and compare our day to someone else's highlight reel or someone else's filtered Instagram feed. We can devalue the gift of God through our life and push pause on the awesome work God has prepared for us. Ephesians 2:10 says, before the world was even created. See, Gideon, he had to accept and receive the truth about what God said about him. Otherwise, he would have just stayed there, fresh and wheat in the wine press. And who can speculate the fate of the Israelites if that had happened? You see, knowing the truth of what God says about us, it's not just a pat on the back for us. It's about our own self-esteem and happiness. It's about those we are called to reach out to and to set free. It's about stepping out in the purposes of God and seeing his power through us, changing the world one life at a time. And I love this quote from Bill Johnson of Bethel Church. He says, your identity changes when you believe that God actually wants to use you to do the impossible. I love that. Your identity changes when you believe that God actually wants to use you to do the impossible. When we live with our own narrow negative perception, we start to restrict how God can flow through us. We are in the river and we want no obstacles and no boundaries to what God can do. So how do we go about that in real life? How do we change our perception? Well, let me give you some C's to help you change your perception and to enable you to have stronger perspective in life. Firstly, the first C is I want you to choose. See, we can choose to believe the fears that come up, the lies that the enemy throws at us, the feelings inside of us that are screaming at the unknown. Or we can choose to believe that God was actually telling us the truth when he said that he is able to do exceedingly above all we can ask or think. Today you have a choice. Will you choose today to believe that you are loved by God, that you are liked by God, that you are called by God? Will you choose to believe that God has prepared you to do amazing things and that the world needs you who you are? Will you choose to believe that you are created on purpose, with a purpose? That you're an overcomer? That you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength? That nothing is impossible for those who believe? We begin again when we align what we think with the truth and reality of what God says. Choosing means that we have to accept that we have some control over what we think. We're not victims of our thoughts. We're not powerless to our mindsets and perceptions. It often starts with small thoughts in our mind, and they start to spiral out of control if we entertain them, if we link it to another thought, and it just begins a vicious circle, and we keep thinking all the negatives. The small thought of I can't can link to some sort of long list of evidence why you can't, and before you know it, you never ever will. And sometimes the evidence is not even real. It's just lies from the enemy who seeks to steal, kill, and destroy and shut you down. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 45 in the Message says, we use our powerful God tools for smashing warped philosophies, tearing down barriers erected against the truth of God, lifting every loose thought and emotion and impulse into the structure of life shaped by Christ. Our tools are ready at hand for clearing the ground of every obstruction and building lives of obedience into maturity. See, we have the power to choose how we think. When those loose thoughts and impulses pop into our mind, we have the ability to accept them or to discount them. We are the quality control surveyors of our own thoughts. Our thoughts come along on that conveyor belt of our thought factory, and we can examine them. Are they good? Are they positive? Are they faith-filled? Yes. Then they can continue along that conveyor belt of our thinking. Or are they negative? Are they limiting and restrictive? Then they don't need to meet our standards, and we can choose to remove them from our thinking. We can trace, face, and replace the negative thoughts with God's truth. We choose. Secondly, the next thing is, we can correct content. In order to choose well, we need to know what we should and could be choosing. We need to choose good content. We find the map to right thinking, the good content, in the Word of God. In the Bible, that's where we find good content. Hebrews 4 and 12 says, "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." And 2 Timothy 3:16 reminds us that all scripture is inspired by God and it is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. See, scripture, it corrects us when we are wrong and it teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. There are times when our way of thinking can butt up against the word of God. But when that happens, who's in the right? We say we can't. The Bible says, through Jesus, we won. We say there's no hope, but the Bible says that the Holy Spirit can fill us with hope. We say it's impossible, but the Bible says, with God, all things are possible. Philippians chapter 4, verses 68 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. See, to know what is lovely, what is good, true, and right, we need to fill our minds with the words of God so that they reboot us into right thinking. See, sometimes the word of God is going to offend you and it's going to challenge you and it's going to bump up against the rough places of our hearts. It's going to give you strength and grace and real answers. It's going to shift stubborn misconceptions and replace them with faith. It's going to heal the broken heart, soothe the anxiousness, and comfort you in the darkest spaces of your life. It does not offer empty promises, but it offers hope. And Louis Giglio says, "In the end, what we dwell on is what we become. Where we camp is where we live and die." So perhaps now is the time you need to begin again with the Bible and read it with a heart open to truth and open to God's gracious transformation. Perhaps this time we need to read it and believe it and do it, to dwell on it and camp there in the truth of what God says. And the third C that I want to share with you this morning is compare not. Compare not. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 says, "For we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves, but they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise." See, just like Paul, we need to make the decision to embrace a unique grace and shake off the limitations of living up to others' expectations. We need to accept and receive the truth about what God says about us. And as I was preparing this message, I came across this quote from an American pastor called Judd Willeyite, and he's a pastor and author, and he says this. He says, "God's perspective on us is remarkable, almost unbelievable. He delights in us and loves us as a caring father. He's running towards us, ready to embrace and forgive us. He's for us in all the pain of life and can sustain us in every challenge. As I learn to see from God's perspective, my perspective on everything else shifts. I realize that my failures don't disqualify me. I'm aware of the security I already have in God's grace. I trust that nothing will separate me from the love of God in Christ." And this is God's truth for you. This is God's truth for you. Job chapter 37, verses 5 to 6 says, "God's voice thunders in marvelous ways. He does great things beyond our understanding. He says to the snow, 'Fall on the earth,' and to the rain, 'Shower,' 'Be a mighty downpour.'" See, he doesn't tell the snow to thaw and become rain, or the rain to freeze itself into snow. He's saying essentially here, do your thing. Do the thing you love to do, what you've been created to do. God is asking you to do the very thing that he created you to be. So many of us twist ourselves up in knots trying desperately to be something or someone else, trying somehow to fulfill an endless list of qualities and capabilities that we think will make us feel loved or safe or happy. And I know I've done it. I've done it before. If only I could sound more spiritual. If I could be deeper, wiser sounding. If I could maybe somehow mash up the wisdom of Stephen Furtick and the dynamite of Christine Kane, wow, man, I'll be in fire then. See, we compare the way we work, the way we serve, the way we parent, the way we do relationships. We're constantly comparing to other people. But I want to tell you this morning that God doesn't need another Brian Houston or another Stephen Furtick. He needs you. He doesn't need another Carrie Job or another Tia Smith. He needs you. He doesn't need another whoever. He needs you. That's why he made you. On purpose, with purpose. Comparison is such a trap. So let me ask you this morning, what is God asking you to do? What is the thing God created you to be? The fourth seed I want to share this morning is circumstance. Instead of just asking God to change your situation this week, ask him to change the way that you view that situation. See, you don't always have control of your situation, but you do control your point of view. See, God's way is often in the sea, in the prison, in the fiery furnace, a lion's den, a cross. And in Judges 7, we read how Gideon faced a challenge in perception. He was facing hordes of armies, and God told him he had too many troops. First, those who were afraid of the battle were released to go home. So 22,000 men left him, and that left 10,000. But again, that was too many from God's vantage point. In the end, Gideon was left with an army of 300. And Gideon had to align his perspective with God, who said, "The victory is yours with 300. And because Gideon surrendered to God and allowed God to renew his mind, to transform his point of view, he was able to trust God even in this situation. He could have courage and lead his men into victory. So what is God saying about your circumstance? You might feel outnumbered, ill-equipped for whatever battle you're currently facing. You may feel stretched beyond your capacity and out of your depth. But God may be looking at your life and your circumstances and setting you up for a testimony. See, God turns every mess into a message, and he turns every test into a testimony. And fifthly and lastly, the last C is that we need to be cleansed. See, our perception changes when we look at him and go, wow, with our worship. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 says, "Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin in which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." See, we can walk through anything knowing that God is with us. We can face any challenge because he is with us. We can step out into the adventure called life, no limitations, when we fix our eyes on Jesus. We can transform our thinking and perception when we become captivated by Christ. See, God is better. He is better than any temptations that distract us. He is better than any empty promise. He is better than settling. And sometimes in a message like this, we can think change all comes by grit, by really putting some grit in. But a change in perspective, well, yes, it takes an intentionality. It also happens through a process of grace and the power of God. See, Jesus transforms us as we surrender and say, "Yes, God, here I am." And in Matthew chapter 8, verses 2 to 4, we read about a man who needed to begin again. And it says there, "A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, 'Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean.' Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. 'I am willing,' he said, 'be clean.' Immediately he was cleansed of his leprosy." See, Jesus was willing to touch him and give him the fresh start. And he is willing to touch your life so you can begin again. And perhaps you're watching this morning and you realize that you need a brand new start.
Thank you for listening. We hope you've been challenged and inspired. Please feel free to contact us through our website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.